Football Podcast.
So, very, very sad news to start with. Gigi Riva passed away this week at the age of 79, one of the all-time greats of Italian football and of the Italy national team. He's a legend for not just the Azzurri, but for Cagliari. More than 30,000 people turned up for his funeral, which goes to show just how iconic and just how loved Gigi Riva was. So what we're going to do is we're going to just do a little commemoration of him, talk a little bit about him. Some of our younger listeners maybe don't know so much about Gigi Riva. We'll start off with what he did and what he means for Cagliari. He made his debut for Cagliari in 1963, and he spent the rest of his career at Cagliari, and he became an adopted Sardinian. He was, I mean, an absolute hero to the people on that island, and he helped Cagliari win promotion to Serie A in his first season, and then led them to the Serie A title, to the Scudetto in 1969-1970 season, the only Scudetto in Cagliari's history. And he was an attacker and an absolute goal machine for Cagliari. He is the top scorer in the history of Cagliari with 208 goals in just 378 appearances. And he was incredibly loyal. He really was a bandiera. He rejected moves to all three of the big northern clubs, Juventus, Milan, and Inter, turned down huge sums of money in order to stay with Cagliari. And just a legend for Cagliari, Nimmer.
Yeah, he is. He's, part of that 1968 Azzurri European Championship winning squad, who also played that unbelievable World Cup in 1970 in that semi-final against West Germany, as it was called back then, and of course scored, one of the most famous iconic clips of commentary in Italian football history, Riva, Riva, Riva. They went to the World Cup's final and of course lost to Brazil after that drubbing, that incredible clash with West Germany, which many say, well, regardless of who won that game, no one would have had any energy left to face off Brazil in the final, and Brazil won comfortably that final. They were exhausted after that classic semi-final against West Germany, and it's a sad day because for me, when you look at any time anyone wins the Serie A outside of the top three, the striped clubs from the north, that's an achievement. But if you're not Napoli, Lazio, Roma and do it, or Fiorentina, you're actually a tiny Sardinia, you're from Sardinia, you're from Sicily. That accomplishment is just, it's immeasurable how big that is, because of the difficulties at every level to do it. For me, that is his greatest achievement. Also considering how, his career, how ruined and ravaged it was by injuries, his stats are even more impressive. If I'm not mistaken, he stopped playing at 30, didn't he?
His career was as good as over at 30. Yeah. Mm. I think he officially retired at 31, I believe. Yeah. But I mean, he was done before he was 30. He broke his leg, I believe, twice. Mm. And kept coming back. And he had, I think it was the 1970-71 season, he virtually missed almost most of that season with a broken leg. And then he broke his leg again, I think 74-75, I believe. And then that was basically the end of his career. He did try to come back, but he could never fully recover from then on. So you just wonder, like, if his career hadn't have been ruined by these injuries and curtailed, I mean, just how many more goals that he would have scored. I mean, he was, he is Italy's greatest goal scorer still. 50 years since he played his last game, 1974 was when he played his last game for the Italy national team, half a century, and he's still the top scorer for the Italy national team. I mean, his record for Italy is insane, 35 goals in 42 games. I mean, that's almost a goal a game for Italy. And, you know, compared to other nations, that's quite a low number of goals. That's just kind of how it is with Italy. We've spoken about that a lot on the pod before. But, you know, that ratio is absolutely insane. And he was, I mean, his left foot was one of the greatest left foots in the history of football. And the rombo di tuono, the exact translation of that is the roar of thunder, and or the rumble of thunder. And his left foot was so powerful that he once broke the arm of a fan in the crowd in a training session in Rome. Yeah, a fan, a young boy, was standing behind the goal net, and Riva's shot was so powerful. He was over, I think it was 120 kilometers an hour, and it hit the fan and broke his arm. You know, that's how powerful his shot was. And he played in an age when the footballs were incredibly heavy back then. Mm. So heavy, actually, that so many footballers, the kind of the heading specialists back then, have ended up having brain injuries and dying prematurely because of the heading of the ball, because they were basically heading leather like bricks of concrete. Like, that's how heavy the balls were. And they were so heavy that back then you only had really a handful of players in world football who had the ability to shoot from long range with power, because the balls were so heavy. You know, people, you wouldn't have the ability to get power in your shots. And Gigi Riva was, you know, along with a very few others, like probably Rivellino of Brazil had an amazing long shot, and Peter Lorimer of Leeds in Scotland had an incredibly powerful long shot. There was only really a handful of these kind of players, and Riva was one of them. And he was a brilliant finisher, as you can tell by his goal scoring tally. And he was a big game player. He scored in the final of Euro 68, the European Championship, the first European Championship that Italy won, in the final against the Yugoslavia. They won 2-0 in the replay. He scored the first goal in the replay of that. He was brilliant in the air as well. Fantastic in the air, but he was also very brave, very aggressive, and he was a winner and a leader, a silent leader, many people said. People said, like, he was a man of few words, but he commanded respect, and people listened to him when he did talk, and he inspired people just by his presence, you know. So he was, you know, for the Italy national team, definitely the greatest ever number nine Italy have ever had. And I mean, we've had some amazing number nines. He was the best of them, the best of them all, no doubt about it. So very, very, very sad loss. And of course, after his playing career as well, Nima, he played an important role in for Italy.
He was a team manager, wasn't he, in the 90s? And he was also, Marco Materazzi apologized to him for not shaking Sepp Blatter's hand obviously because Blatter refused to give Italy the World Cup trophy after the final. Gigi Riva wanted him, you know, then they met, when Blatter met with, you know, in 2007, a few months after Italy had won it, Materazzi refused to shake his hand, but Gigi Riva was like, you gotta let it go, you gotta, you know, move on and stuff like that. And he refused to, and he said, maybe you forgiven me now for not listening to you that time. That's the only time I didn't listen to you. He was
Italy's team manager from 1990 until 2013, so that's a long, long time. Yeah. And he said he was there when Italy won the 2006 World Cup. I remember, like, seeing him when I went to watch all the World Cup games, and you know, he was the team manager. You could see him; he was the presence. I remember after the Germany game, he was there and the semi final, and he was a very important part of their staff. I remember there was the iconic image from the 1994 World Cup when he's consoling Baggio after Baggio misses that penalty in the shootout, and Baggio's in tears. And that's a very, probably his most iconic image of him as a team manager. And just just a legend, and just so loved in Cagliari. I mean, he was to Cagliari what Maradona was to Napoli.
Absolutely. That's no exaggeration. I'd say that's pretty much exactly what he was. He is that. I mean, he was that loved and is that loved. If you look at his funeral, go and look at how beautiful his moving his funeral. I think something like Cagliari's not a big place. 30,000 people turned up for the funeral and they were singing songs in his honor and the procession. It was incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, and some of the 2006 players covered his carried his coffin.
Yeah.
And I think Buffon was in tears, and there's been some great stories. So there's been some really lovely stories about him in the last few days from the players that played, you know, for Italy while he was there, and some of the players that played with him during his career. Some really wonderful stories. It's just a 2024 so far has not been not been kind to the legends of football, has it? We've lost a lot of legends already in football.
The times,
Beckenbauer, Zagallo. I mean, it's
The times they are a changing, as Bob Dylan sang and wrote. You know, this is where we're you know, it's an end of an era and the start of a new one. And that's how it is. Life is a continuous process. And it's sad because it just can't be stated how important and a towering figure he is in the glorious history that is Italian football, not just club football, but also national team football. And he will, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, after 50 years later, his record still stand. And
it doesn't look like it's going to be broken anytime soon. Look at our current number nines. I mean, we could do with a Gigi Riva right now, couldn't we? I mean,
if Gigi Riva was alive and well and had his peak this year, this time around, I see Italy win the Euros and the World Cup. Because he was a monster in the air, and he was a monster in the penalty area.
Yeah, he was a monster, full stop.